Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Robert Cashel, Conference Commissioner, and joined today by two former Cascade Collegiate Conference student athletes, Robert Swoboda from Corbin University and Clayton Van Dyke from Lewis Clark State. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, thank you guys for joining the program. We've got a lot to cover, not only just talking about what you're up to now, but really kind of looking back a little bit at the great careers you had at Corbin and at LC State. So, but before we look too far back, I want to first jump into why we invited you onto the program. You guys are really the founding members, I think, of a new elite running club that's going around, and acronym is CCC Elite. And Robert, I'll start with you. Tell me a little bit about the club and what's all involved in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been a culmination of all CCC teams, all alumni. I think actually we don't have College of Idaho yet, but we're working on that. but yeah, so one day Jonas Hartline of OIT messages us all on Strava, right? And we just, there's a strong list of us. I think there's like maybe four or five. And I'm like, yeah, this would be great. Well, what about this person? What about that person? What about this person? Are they still running? And lo and behold, eventually we outgrew the Strava chat. And so we moved it to Instagram and we're like, all right, well, we all want to run, you know, the Willamette meet, you know, in early October. Let's do it as a team. I'm like, and I think from there, it was like, okay, why don't we just make a club? We're all from the CCC. There's something tying us all together. We all love this sport. And I think this is going to be a great platform to keep us, A, all connected together, to develop friendships, B, encouraged, and to keep running and keep pressing hard, because it was hard while we were in college. It's even harder now that we're out in the real world. And so having the camaraderie that we have amongst the CCC and then in the sport has really, really what has kept everything together and glued together. It formed like overnight, and from there it was just, okay, well, here's what we need. Here's what, you know, what we can do. And now we're here.
Yeah, what a great story. And Clayton, I'll turn to you a little bit. You know, one of the unique things about cross country in particular is this elite atmosphere, or the open meets that you can go and compete in. So talk a little bit about that and what you guys intend on doing in the competition.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think it's really important, especially athletes like us. Running can be a very individualized sport, and so giving ourselves the opportunity to compete at team events, which is something that you generally don't get to do after college, one, I think breeds a little bit of motivation and consistency. Like, we're not just doing this for ourselves anymore. Like, we get the opportunity to go to meets and then compete as a team. Like, we're post-college athletes, so it's kind of hard to compare, but when we went to Willamette, we were third as a team, which is something that I think is difficult to do, especially with athletes who have full-time jobs or have children. And then combining all of that, we like to have a few athletes, or most of them, push for bigger goals. Like, I know both Rob and I have goals of qualifying for Olympic trials, or even eventually making teams at some point, if that's something we really wanted to do. And just having an environment and having a community around us to like help with that, I think is really important. Something that we both definitely won't take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned Willamette, and that is one of the premier cross-country meets in the Pacific Northwest, and third as a team. So I wasn't able to look at the results, but where did you guys finish individually?
Yeah, we had one top 10 finish from yours truly. I got eighth place in 24.03 or 24.04. So I was a few seconds, about 10 seconds off my PR. And then it was about a 60-second gap from our 1 to 5. I think Jonas can't quite remember exactly what place he came in, but he was almost dead on 60 seconds after me. and that brought our, we almost had five under 25 minutes. And so that kept our group really close. We had Clayton coming in close behind me. I think you were 12th or 11th.
I was 17th, but 24, 38. Yeah. So not too far, about 30 seconds. Fine.
So, but yeah, we had, a great team debut. We're looking to do another one, not a debut, but another race this weekend, as well, at Oak Knoll, at the Linfield, the George, OWA, invite. And so, but at the Willamette meet, it was a great experience. We had a lot of guys pulling a lot of weight to keep everything together. We have a little story for that too, if you want to get into it, but, maybe that's for at the end of the session, when we have a little more time. But it was good. We had a great, great outcome.
Well, talking a little bit about your great success as collegiate athletes, Clayton, you national champion, you both are national champions, but Clayton, I've got a long list of accolades here in front of me. I'd probably take the rest of the show to read them all, but national champion indoor 800, All-American indoor and outdoor, second place in the 800, Cascade Conference male track and field athlete of the year, Scholar Athlete of the Year, West Region Track Athlete. I mean, you kind of did it all, cross country and track and field. But talk a little bit about winning that national title in the 800.
Yeah, that one was particularly very special. Indoor track's always been my favorite. So of all the ones that I wanted to get, I think that one was the most important to me. Just my first year in the NAI, I ended up being the national runner-up in the 800. And so from that point forward, I ended up collecting two more national runners up. So I'd been second three times at this point. And so I knew that I had the capabilities of finally getting my own, and COVID, sort of threw a wrench in that a little bit. I think it was really hard for a lot of athletes at that time, because we had a season where we had cross country, indoor track, cross country, and outdoor track all in the span of 4 months. It was just a really crazy year. But after that year, I was able to sort of recollect myself and get ready for indoor. And we were really fortunate up in Spokane. They had just built the podium, which is a really nice multi-million dollar track facility. And I was able to run some really good times and build a lot of confidence going into that race. And I knew when I woke up that morning, the morning of the 800, I was like, I'm winning this thing. Nobody's stopping me. And I had told Coach Mike Collins that I had a plan. My plan was I was going to go out and I'm just going to lead it from the gun. I'm not going to get in a mess. I don't want to, I don't want to trip over anybody's heels. I'm just going to do my thing and I'm going to win it straight from the gun. And that's what I ended up doing. So I think that I don't know that anybody could have beat me on that day. I was just so ready for that that race. And I think it's something that will always be really special to me. I mean, I'll remember every single second of it. I can recall what it was like being a minute into that race and where I was, how I was feeling. And even that last 100 meters, that's something I wish I could relive multiple times. And I tried to get it outdoor as well, but lost it by 600ths of a second, but I'll definitely take the one. So.
Yeah. What's that like when you wake up as an athlete and you just know, and everything's aligned, right? You're feeling good. Mm-hmm. You're rested. Did you know from the get-go that morning, you're like, this is my race?
Yeah, I think it helped that. So I had the top 800 time pretty much for the entire season. I ran 150 low in January, and nobody had been able to eclipse that past that point. So one, I knew that I was the fittest. And then two, I think I just wanted it the most. Not very many athletes are second three times and every outdoor meet or national meet that they're at. And so I was just really hungry for it. And we had a high level of competition, and I just knew that if I was going to win it, I just gonna have to do it my way. And and everything worked out. My parents were able to come, and everything is the only national meet they could ever work it out to be there. And it just happened to be the one that I win. So I think all the stars aligned, and it was really important that it happened then. So
that's great. And Robert, you had equal amount of success nationally. Fourth place in the national cross country meet when we hosted last year. 10K outdoor champion, marathon champion last year. Talk about your success and what it took to win those.
Well, really, it took a lot of consistency. The first few years of while being at Corbin, my training was very inconsistent, and it was a lot of like I'll have a good week at like 65 miles, and then but I did them all hard, and then the next week I was at 20, right? And it was just that constant up and down throughout the early seasons. Once I finally figured out that you need to stay consistent the entire time, it then turned into solid miles every week. I went from a good week at 65, being now a bad week was 65 miles, and so I got up to 80, maybe 85 miles, I think one or two times that track season. And I took a little bit of an approach to where, because so Corbin is a Christian university, and that's a big part of my life. And so the way I see running, right, God's given me this gift to run, and it's been something that I use to praise Him, right? And so the outlook I have on it is, if I can go out every day and praise Him and give Him my best, He's going to provide the results. And so, for me, it was, someday it was a recovery day, right? So going out and hammering 5:30s, 5:20s, on a recovery day is probably not the best I could give. And so doing the work that I needed to do is what really helped me, recovering on the days I need to recover, working out hard, and being persevering through the workouts and the long miles was giving my best those days. And so when it came down to it, it was very similar to Clayton, where like I had never been at a national meet for track and field before, had no clue what to expect. I knew it was going to be in Gulf Shores, Alabama, where it was going to be 75 with like 95% humidity. So you step outside and it feels like your face is getting licked by a yak, and says so it's going to be grueling weather. And we get there night of the race. It's supposed to be Wednesday, and I kid you not, I'm nervous. I'm chomping like at the bit. My teeth are aching. It's just a rough bit, right? And lightning strikes and it's pouring rain. I'm like, whoa, this is going to be the world's greatest 10K, right? And it gets canceled, which I'm kind of thankful for, because the nerves are way too high. And I don't think that I could have given God my best that day because I was too worried about, the weight of being at a national meet, right? We got one more day to really recoup. Got one more shakeout that evening, the Wednesday before, and got up the next morning, and there was a calming peace over me the entire time. And so I knew that God had me. I knew that God was going to take care of me. And so we get to the evening where Valerie Schmidt was our first national champion in the HEP. And had a great, had a great last 800 meters, to finish up her events. And it was one of those things that was great and awesome to see. And then we get to the 10K and it's hot and humid again. And I go out, and where Clayton was like, yeah, I'm gonna go out and take it from the gun. I took a bit more conservative approach because I've got a few more laps than an 800. And so I went through and got to, I think I sat behind Cole, actually Olson from LC State, and just kind of waited, bided my time. He helped pull me through 8K, and from there with 2K to go is when I started to make my move. And with each step, like Clayton's, like you remember every second of it. And you would love to go back and have it again. And just with every step, I knew it was like, okay, this is hard, but I give God my best. I'm going to praise Him, and He's going to provide the result. And came out with the championship, and that's about all the best you can ask for, right? It's first place. And then with the marathon, I'll try to keep this one brief, but with the marathon, it was one of those things. It just came off of cross countries and just came off of, you know, a fourth place finish at nationals. And 2 weeks later, I'm expected to go run 26 miles, at a pretty high level. I'll be real honest, when Stuart, my coach at Corbin, was like, yeah, you know, I don't think you'll make it, you know, quite to the pro level on the track, but you could do well on the roads, like in the marathon. I'm like, well, that's kind of like, okay, but I like the 10K. The 10K is fun. It's not that long. And he's like, well, he's like, I don't think you have quite the fit speed, but I do think you have the endurance for it. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll do the marathon, right? Like, if you think that is somewhere where I can continue to grow and get better. And you know, he went to Wisconsin, coached under Jerry Schumacher. And so it's not like he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you. We're going to get through this. We're just going to take the same approach. I'm going to give God my best, you know, and he'll provide the results. And so we're going through, and there's a lot more time to think in a marathon. And so the goal really was just to enjoy the event, just to enjoy running for that long, that hard. And it was a blast. There was tons of people around me, which was super nice. Like, I wasn't like off with, you know, in no man's land trying to struggle through this. Right. And there's a weird camaraderie amongst competitors in a marathon, being in that upper end where the elites are taking their bottles, you know, they're passing, like if someone misses a bottle. I had this experience at grandma's. If someone missed a bottle, like someone was willing to pass off theirs, you know, and there's this weird camaraderie that you have throughout the entirety of the race, which was a really cool experience. And it's something I hadn't really experienced because we don't really get nutrition and water in a 10K or a 5K. And you don't really get to see that side of runners who are struggling that long and that hard. Aside from when you're with a team, right? When you're with a team, you have all these people to talk to and chat about and encourage yourself in training runs, but you don't ever really see it in a race. And then we get to halfway, and I was like right around like 69:20. I'm like, you know what? I could probably go for the Olympic Trials qualifying time, and I probably should have waited a little bit longer before I made a move. But I went for it and tried for it and came out with, you know, with a 2:19, you know, 23, which is about 83 seconds off of that Olympic trials qualifying time in my first marathon, when I haven't really had marathon training. I've been training for a cross country season. And so I was like, okay, maybe Stuart was right. Maybe I should, you know, move to a marathon, which I feel like is usually the path most collegians take. I think I'm going to take it with a lot more vigor, and try to go for the US trials and make the Olympic team in 2028. You know, I think that's a very real possibility. It's going to take a lot more dedication, a lot more work, than what I had in college. And, there's a lot more standing in my way now that I'm married and now that I have, you know, a home, I have, you know, animals to take care of and a full-time job, right? Like, there's a lot that stands in the way, but when it comes down to it, like those are experiences that not only will I never get to live again, but that I cherish. But they're examples that I can take through and apply it to my today life.
Boy, it's great to hear from both of you. Kind of a little peek behind the curtain of your mindset and kind of what's happening on race day, right? And during that race. And yeah, Robert, you know, training for an 8K is very different than training for a marathon. So congratulations on finishing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, Clayton, I want to turn to you a little bit. You know, we often talk about student athletes and life after college, right? And so tell me a little bit about what you're doing now, your professional life, your home life, and kind of how are you integrating all of that into your training and still maintaining these goals to race at an elite level?
Yeah, well, I actually think I'm pretty fortunate as far as the position that I'm in right now. I actually just work at a running store as a sales representative for the time being. So I get basic free running shoes and gear and whatever I can get through that. And then graphic design was my major. And so I do that on the side as a freelancer. And I did that for a couple of years before I graduated, but decided I want to take a break because 40 hours a week, like staring at a screen, was something that was pretty difficult for me. I just noticed I was pretty tired a lot. So I decided after Brooklyn, my fiance, she ran for LC and our wife now, I guess I should say, we just got married about a month ago. So that's a big change in life as well. So we had moved up to Coeur d'Alene, which is just about 2 hours north of where we went to college in Lewiston. And we have a new house that's sort of on the lake, and we get a trail that runs along the edge of the lake. So we've got prime running real estate for all of our training and stuff, which is really nice. On top of my work schedule is really consistent too. So I always work from like 10 to 6, and I've got that couple hours in the morning to get all my training done. And then the rest of the evenings all focus towards my now new marriage. So that's been really exciting. As far as training goes, I've almost been hitting heavier training more since I graduated. It's funny you think it would kind of be the opposite. But once I had that season, especially my senior year, I really wanted to continue training, and I knew I had the opportunity to run well. Like I was really close to breaking a 4-minute mile and things like that. So I knew that's something I really wanted to do. And so I just, ever since college, I've been taking training really seriously. I think at this point of this year, I'm like have run over 2,400 miles this year alone. And so as a middle distance guy, it's fit for somebody who runs an 800 or a mile. But I think in combination with having a full-time job and a relationship that you're taking care of, it's a good balance because I still get to kind of do those things that I want to do. And it kind of proves to people that it is still possible with a full-time job and other obligations and still able to run your best times. Like I was finally able to break that sub-4 mile after having, planning for a wedding and then having a full-time job and doing all those things. So it's just been really good for the most part. There have been a few bumps along the way, but overall positive experience.
That's great. And just the sport itself lends itself to being able to continue it, throughout the rest of your life, right? You can always, unless you're injured beyond capability, you can always probably go out and run and enjoy the sport. Robert, where are you at now? And you mentioned you're married as well.
Yes, yeah. So I have my lovely wife Emma. We met at Corbin, as most college students do. They probably meet their significant other, their spouse, in college. And so she has been the love of my life and has been the most encouraging and supportive person I think I can ever imagine. And so it's been a great experience with that. We got married. It's been almost 2.5 years now. Time flies, right? So now I'm married. I'm still in Salem, which is has been kind of nice because when I'm at home, because I work pseudo from home, pseudo in a studio, and pseudo wherever my job takes me. And so when I'm at home and doing some prep work for my job, I can take some time off and I can go actually run with Corbin, and like go do recovery runs with them and such. And so as far as running goes, like it's very, I have to be very rigid on like time management, which was something I wasn't very great at in college, and my grades could testify for that. But I have now learned that since, and so I get up around 7 o'clock, make sure that I'm out the door by 7:15, to go do whatever miles I need to do, come back, I do my work throughout the day, and in the evening I have the tail end of the miles, or wherever I could fit them in, and then from there it's taking care of home life. And so it's very rigid, and especially right now because I work for Athletic Timing, so I am traveling a lot to going to meets. I think next weekend I am in, yeah, I'm in Boise, Idaho, doing some district meets there for the high school. And so there's a fair bit of travel. That's where things get hard to manage. There's some weeks where I work like 30 hours, to some weeks I work like 60 to 80. And so those are the weeks that it gets a little more difficult to manage. But I have really supportive bosses too that like recognize that I'm trying to run at a high level, and so they're willing to work with me in some ways that way as well. So yeah.
That's great. So obviously, you both have individual kind of goals for running elite level. Robert, you talked about Olympic trials. Clayton, I'm sure some of that's on your mind as well. But tell me a little bit, Clayton, what's the goal for the CCC Elite? Where do you guys see that team atmosphere going? And are there other things that you guys can do?
Yeah, I mean we've talked about a lot of stuff, and a lot of it at this point speculation because it's so fresh and new. It's kind of hard to see where this is going to go. It was sort of just an idea about a month and a half ago, and now it's a reality. So I think the main goal with this team is that we just really want to foster a community of runners that are able to like feel like they have a place to go after college. Like it's somewhat daunting to, if you enjoy something. I think with being runners, we're really fortunate in that we have so many opportunities to keep doing the sport that we love. Like, I can't imagine being a basketball player and then not being able to really enjoy the sport that you play, because it's hard to find 2 5-on-5-man teams all the time, right? With
Right.
runners, we can just go out and do it anytime we want. But if you want to keep competing, that's where it gets really difficult because there's a lot of time involved with proper training and also not sure if you have support. And so something like a team will give, I think, people, especially in the NAIA level, a lot of us probably weren't the most confident or weren't the most talented coming straight out of high school. And we're really able to develop ourselves to the NAIA system and still want to continue running because we have not had that high level of training for such a long time. Like, I feel like after I graduated, it's like, man, I just started. I've only done this for a 4 years competitively now. It's like I don't want to end now. And so I think the goal with this team mainly is to create a community that we can all be a part of, but also eventually be able to create funding and an association that can help people with travel or can help people with race fees or things like that. Eventually we'd want to do merchandise or other things to help compensate for that, maybe even have our own events, and just a structured business that will work and help people run. It's kind of the idea, regardless of who they are, whether they have kids, whether they're an elite athlete or somebody who just came through the system and wants to keep doing it for fun. I think that's what the main goal is.
Well, that's awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate your time today. We're going to keep track of you individually and keep track of CCC Elite and have you back on the program as things continue to develop for you. But thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Course, thank you.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
On behalf of our director, Courtney Blummer, this has been Rob Cashel, Cascade Connects.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.